Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
Jesus, I love you.
I know.
That he's yours. Can you say that?
Oh, that holy is of sin, I praise my precious Redeemer.
He is a Redeemer. Yes, he is a Redeemer, he is a Savior, he holds a future, he is a Redeemer, yes, yes, yes. Truly, your Savior. Yes, yes. O Lord, we love you. You are indeed a Redeemer, and you are our Savior. Oh, yes, Jesus. How you love us. He said, there is no kind of love like this, that a friend will lay down his life for his friends. Oh, yes. You see, even for the righteous, a man will not lay down his life for. Lord Jesus, we are gracious. Oh, Father, we are grateful unto you. We are grateful for your love. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We say, speak to us this evening. Minister to our hearts. Talk to us, oh Jesus. Turn our hearts. Turn our lives. Wash us anew. May our hearts be renewed. May our minds be renewed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I thought somebody was clapping for Jesus. Oh, wow. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. We indeed have a Savior. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 1. James chapter 3 and verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Hallelujah. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but a tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Hallelujah. Well, this evening, for a short time, we want to continue with the message that we've been sharing for some few weeks now, the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. And we've been sharing about the poisons of the tongue. Hallelujah. We've been sharing about few poisons of the tongue. The Bible says, so the tongue among our members, it says, it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell itself. Verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil,
full of deadly poison. Hallelujah. The tongue is full of deadly poison. And we are saying that if the tongue is so, if it has this nature, if the tongue is set on fire by hell itself, and we are so unfortunate to inherit this thing so close to us. You see, it is not something that we can run away from. It is not something that we can take out and put away from us. You see, when Jesus was teaching us about your hand will lead you to hell, cut it off, your arm, cut it off. And I didn't, you see, the tongue. Hallelujah. By the tongue, we are taught to learn to tame it. Hallelujah. So I think it is important that we know the deadly poisons of the tongue. Isn't it a good thing? That is why we are learning about the deadly poisons of the tongue. Hallelujah. So I've given you some few deadly poisons. The first one is what? Lies. The poison of lies. The poison of lies. And the second one I gave you is what? Flattery. The poison of flattery. And the third one, tale-bearing. The poison of tale-bearing. Hallelujah. The poison of tale-bearing. Amen. Did we learn a lot about the poison of tale-bearing? I tell you, tale-bearing is something that is common to man. It is very common amongst us. And you realize that God is interested in every area of our lives. Every area God is interested in. That our tale-bearing that we thought were little things that we just, you know, get ourselves busy with, God is interested in them. Hallelujah. And he does not want us to be a tale-bearer. Amen. He says, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, he says, the words of a tale-bearer are wounds. The words of a tale-bearer are wounds. Not the story or not the tale is a wound. As the story is coming, there's no wound. It's not. It doesn't have spears. But the words of the tale-bearer, that means that the same story can be told by one person and has no wound. But when it's coming from a tale-bearer, beware. Be careful. You need to put on shield. You need to put on your armor. Hallelujah. Because it will give you, or it will leave you with wounds. Amen. You see, there are certain stories when you hear, they leave you with wounds. Especially if it's being delivered by a particular person. Do you understand? There are certain stories that when you hear it, there are certain stories you are better off not hearing. There are certain things that you are safe not hearing. But when you hear them, it can bring some wounds in your life. Hallelujah. There are certain stories about pastors, certain men of God that you cherish and you honor. Some stories about them, you don't want to hear it. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? You don't want to hear it. You see, if you were in David's days, and David was your pastor. You see, David was your pastor, and one day you went to church, and at the end of the service, you know, somebody came to you, a tale-bearer, came to you. Have you heard? Have you heard our pastor? Have you heard? He said, what? Oh, have you not heard? You see, and they begin to tell you that when men went to war, you know our pastor. You know how he likes to walk on the roof as people are at war. And then he's, oh, but he's a king, he's a pastor. If he's walking on the rooftop and the people are going on visitation and they are doing it, what is wrong with that? No. I am not finished. You see? And then, you see, then he begins. As pastor was walking up on the rooftop, as he was walking, you know this poor Bathsheba, this poor girl that her husband, you see, the tale-bearer story, you see? But one person can also come in and say, oh, have you heard of the tragedy that has happened to our pastor? In fact, you know, the enemy is a very wicked person. The enemy is very wicked. That such a man of God, you see, the enemy sees the work that he's doing and he's trying to bring the man of God down. And look what he has done to the man of God. You see, as the person is delivering the story, you feel sorry for the person already, and you start praying for the person. You see, and then it makes you understand that it is a temptation that has happened to the man. It will make you not even leave the church. But coming from another one, it will leave you wounds. You say, this church, this church, rooftop churches. Then you start giving names. You see, it has left you with wounds. It has left you with wounds. Even when you hear of another pastor with the same last name, you say, these kind of pastors with these names, I'm not going to their church. You see, depending on who delivered the tale. Hallelujah. So let us be careful. Let us not be tale bearers. And a tale bearer, you see, a tale bearer is like someone who is cooking. When you are cooking food, when you are cooking and you are expecting people to come and eat, you are cooking for someone to eat. You spice the food. You see, you put certain spices. And when you are cooking the food, you have a person in mind, or you have the people in mind, and you want to tickle their taste, their tongues. You see, you want to stimulate and titillate their taste buds. So as you are putting it and you are tasting the salt, you remember, oh, this one, he doesn't like too much salt. You see, all of those things come to mind. And, oh, this one, he likes pepper. You see? And then you taste it. No, not to his taste. And then you spice it. So you keep making it to his taste. So a talebearer also, when he's delivering the message, when he's delivering the tale, the talebearer has something in mind. He has planned what by the hearing of the story, what it should accomplish in your life. Do you understand? So he spices it. He puts pepper here and put a little salt here and spice it to fit so that it will achieve the purpose. So that next time you will come and eat the food again. Do you see? Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Wonderful. So let us not be tale bearers. Amen. Wonderful. So today I want to share another poison with you. The poison of foolish talking. The poison of foolish talking. Hallelujah. How many of you every now and then you do some foolish talking? My hands up. Only 5 people, we do foolish talking. The message is for us. Hallelujah. The poison of foolish talking. Foolish talking is the talk of a fool. It's a fool who is talking. Literally, it means a fool's talking. That is foolish talking. Talking that is coming from a fool. Hallelujah. Talking that is coming from someone. You know, there are some people that say, you know, they say anything that comes in their mind. There are some people, they say, as for me, I speak my mind. You see, as for me, I speak my mind. Anything that comes in their mind, they just say it. Hallelujah. Anything that drops in their mind, it just comes out. And they say, I speak my mind. You see, it's not everything that comes in your mind that is worth saying. Hallelujah. It's not everything that drops in your mind that is worth saying. Amen. Everything. How many of you agree with me that it's not everything that drops in your mind? There's so many things that will drop. So if you say, I speak my mind, then you'll be doing a lot of foolish talking. Because a lot of foolish things drop in your mind also. Hallelujah. You see, there are some people that, they, as long as it comes in their mind, it has to come out. Amen. You see, sometimes someone may say something to you. Someone may say something to you, and immediately that thing generates some response. You see, and the response that comes is fire back. You see, and you feel like firing back. You see, so if you're a person that speaks your mind, you just fire back. Do you understand? But sometimes you realize that this thing, if you fire back, the end result will not be appropriate. This thing, you realize that if you fire back, the outcome will not be pleasant. If you fire back, it may end a relationship. It may end a friendship. You know that this thing, if you fire back, it may end the marriage. It can even spoil the marriage. Hallelujah. You know that this, and if you fire back, you may lose your job. You see, but see, somebody has said something, and it generates a response. It generates, and if you fire back, it becomes a foolish talking. Oh, take your job. This job, that, do you think without this job, you will not eat? We will eat. Oh, take your job. Ah. We are tired. We are tired. Take your job. You see? Take your job. Ah. They say, how much are you paying me? That every day, take your job. And leave us alone. We are tired. You see, that's foolish talking. That is foolish talking. Because you know that as you are living right now, that you are saying, you think without this, we won't pay our rent, we won't eat. And you know that that's the truth. Without this, you won't eat. Without this, you won't pay your rent. So this, take your job. We are tired. Take your job. It's a foolish talking. It's foolish talking. Hallelujah. It is foolish talking. Amen. There are so many things that drop in our head, but it's not everything that we have to. But a wise person will ponder over the response. You see, this is how your mind is telling you to say, but you ponder over it, and then you rephrase it. You see, the thing that you really want to say, you just rephrase it. Sometimes you just need to just keep quiet. Amen. Sometimes you just need to keep quiet. But someone who is a foolish or a fool, he just speaks as it comes in his head. As it just comes, you just speak. Hallelujah. And if you are a person like that, if you are a person that you are, I speak my mind kind of person, you realize that a lot of times your sayings bring commotion. You see, a lot of times if you are, I speak my mind, you realize that anytime you come around, the things that you say, it brings commotion. Because it just drops in your head and then it's come. You are speaking your mind. Amen. It generates, every time you speak or you say something, it generates a certain kind of reaction. Hallelujah. It generates a certain kind of reaction, and it's not usually a pleasant reaction. It usually ends up in a strife. Hallelujah. It usually ends up with two people not talking. Or it usually ends up with two friends, not being friends anymore. Or a couple not being a couple anymore. If you are a type that always speaks your mind. Hallelujah. You realize that your sayings, they bring a lot of damages. Damages to yourself and damages to other people. Amen. Anytime you open your mouth, you realize that some damage has been done. And somebody has to come behind you and do some damage control for just the statements that you make. Hallelujah. Oh, there are some people who are like that. After they finish with you, somebody has to come and say, oh, you know, he didn't really mean. There are some people, I remember some man that we used to have in, he was a councilman. You know, he's a councilman in a certain city, in a certain country. You know, the city begins with a K, and the country is a G. And this city man, this councilman, oh man, whenever he opens his mouth, somebody has to come and do some damage control. You see, he can open his mouth and say something even about the king. The king that is a nobleman that everyone respects. You see, whenever he opens his mouth and he says something, somebody has to come and do some damage control. That is a fool. You speak your mind. Anything that comes in your mind, you just have to say it. Hallelujah. That is a fool. Amen. Amen. And you know, there are some people that, they think that I speak my mind then is the truth. They mistake that for the truth. You see, there are some people, they feel that, as for me, I speak my mind means I am truthful. You see? But who said that your mind is the truth anyway? You understand what I'm sharing with you? Who said that your mind is the truth? It may not be the truth. Amen. So you need to be very careful with foolish talking. Hallelujah. We need to be very careful with foolish talking. Amen. Marriage couples ought to be very careful with foolish talking. Sometimes marriage couples do a lot of foolish talking. Hallelujah. When you say something like, oh, you are chatting with your husband. You are sitting and you are chatting with your husband. And you say, but you know that you are not the one that I was going to marry. That is foolish talking. That is foolish talking. Why do you have to say that? Do you know that you are not the one that I was really going to marry? That is foolish talking. You know, that is foolish talking. Now you are married to the man. Even if, you see, there's a lot of things that drop in your head. But it shouldn't, not everything that drops in your head. And you see, you think that you are being truthful. That is foolish talking. It's not that as for me, I speak my mind. You are a fool. So, you see, that you bring a lot of damage right there to the relationship. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? That you are not the man that I was going to marry. And you are chatting, you say, you know, before, you know, my parents, they didn't like you. You know, my parents, they didn't even want us to marry. Why? Now, maybe they didn't know him very well. And they didn't want the marriage. Why are you telling him, you know, my parents, they never wanted you to marry me. They didn't like you. The man has a nice relationship with your parents now. Now you are going to spoil. That is foolish talking. That is foolish talking. I think that is foolish talking. Hallelujah. It's foolish talk. Sometimes we say things, you know, it just drop in our head and we just say it. Sometimes you oppose to something. Parents should be very careful with that. You object to a marriage, a relationship or something, and then your daughter comes to you and says, this is the man I'm going to marry. I love this man. This man I'm going to... Over my dead body. Hey! And then you talk over my dead body. So if the man will marry, then you are going to... There was one time, I think it was Archbishop Idahosa's church, I heard, that they were going to build something. They were going to build a house, a church. They were going to construct a church. And then the land where they were going to construct, you know, there was this person around there, and the person says, the church can never be here. You can never have the church here over my dead body. So the man of God says, Lord, may you construct the church over her dead body. So the church was built and the person died. You see, there are certain foolish talking that you don't have to engage yourself in. Amen. These are just foolish talking. Hallelujah. Be careful of foolish talking. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And we can read from verse 1. Do you know you are not the one that I was going to marry? That is foolish talking. So what should we do about that now? So this statement that you have made, you see, what should we do about that now? What is the benefit? How is that edifying me? So what are you telling me to do? Do you see? You know, I was going to marry a white man. You know? And then maybe your husband is very dark. You know? And then your children are very dark. And then you are telling the man, you know, when I was growing up, I really wanted to marry a white man. So why are you telling me that now? So what? I should become one. Amen. It's foolish talking. Hallelujah. That is foolish talking. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You see, there are certain foolish talking, they are not even convenient. You see, as you make a statement like that, it brings a lot of, you know, it does not edify anyone. Being convenient means it does not edify. It does not strengthen the relationship. So why are you saying it? Amen. He said, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. I want to read this in the New Living Translation to you. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Say to your neighbor, these are not for you. Say, foolish talk is not for you. Say, foolish talk. They are not for you. Hallelujah. He says, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. Do you understand? Sometimes we think that, that's the reason why we are learning these things. Do you see what can make you miss even going to the kingdom of God? Foolish talk. Foolish talking. He says, do not be fooled by those who try to excuse these things. This one we are just, you know. He says, foolish talk and coarse jokes. Coarse jokes. Jokes, uncomfortable roughness. Rough jokes. Unpleasant jokes. Obscene stories. These are not for you. And he says, do not be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. So every disobedience is disobedience. Stealing tithe is the same as foolish talking. Hallelujah. Amen. Fornication, you see the things that are listed with foolish talk. Fornication, idolatry, sexual immorality, impurity, greed. All these things are listed among foolish talk. Hallelujah. So we need to be very careful. Amen. If you continue to read this one, verse 10, it says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. That means that whatever we are saying, we need to be very careful and determine that it pleases God. That it will not make us go to hell. Amen. Because he says, those who excuse themselves of these things, the anger of God will fall on them. Or those who disobey these things, the anger of God will fall upon them. Hallelujah. So we do not take these things lightly. Amen. We do not take these things lightly so that we don't fall short of the glory of God. And that is why we are teaching and we are learning these things. Hallelujah. Dorothy, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Wonderful. Tisha, do you understand what I'm sharing with you? Amen. Wonderful. So you see, this should not be business as usual. That, you know, you're talking. As you have come in the light, you have been transformed. You have been transformed from darkness. You are in a light now. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that your life should be a light of this world. You should be a light in this world. So it should not be business as usual. It should not be, you know, you have come and you're talking as usual. That's you again. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be so. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I want to read from verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. That means be careful when you go to the house of God. Some of us, we are not careful at all when we are in the house of God. You know, the house of God is something that we don't know very much about. And one day we are going to really learn about the house of God. Amen. Sometimes we are not careful. The Bible is saying, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. They consider not that they do evil. That is a fool. There are some people, they are in a church. You see, don't be very careful when you step in the house of God. You may be talking with your friend, and you are in the house of God, and he asks you something, and then you are right there, you are just lying to your friend, and it's like a joke. But you are lying. Do you see? Why didn't you come to church yesterday? Oh, yesterday, what was I doing? Oh, yesterday, you know, I had to go to the airport to pick up somebody. You know it's a total lie. And then you think, as for this, my friend, when he finds out, you know, we will just laugh it off. But you are lying in the house of God. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? Because he inhabits this house. And you are lying in his presence. Amen. Be careful. He says, so sometimes it's better to do less talking when you are in church. Don't talk too much. Don't do a lot of foolish talking. Amen. Because, see, foolish talking is sin. So you say you are fooling around with your friend, but it's foolish talking. And I'm not saying that, you know, as we are just having conversation and laughing, but foolish talking. Like, you say something about your husband that is unpleasant to your friend. Do you understand? Oh, don't mind that fool. You see, that is foolish talking. You know that that's your husband. And you know that when you go home, he's not a fool at all. But you see, you are talking with your friend and you want your friend to laugh, or you want your friend to feel like you are in charge or something like that. Do you see? Oh, don't mind him. Don't mind that fool. It's foolish talking. Hallelujah. He says, be not rash with your mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you are here on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. You see, so what the Bible is saying is that if you talk too much, if you have a lot of words, then they will see that you are a fool. But you can be a fool and be quiet, and nobody will know you are a fool. Oh yes, they'll mistake you for a wise person. Oh, seriously. Look, let me tell you. If you are in the midst of people, if you are in a group and you are a quiet one, you are very quiet and you tend to listen more and you talk less, they think you are a very wise person. Maybe you are not that wise, but they mistake you for a wise person. Hallelujah. You see, because your foolishness, or how fool you are, it will only come when you open your mouth. People will know when you open your mouth. I'm sharing some very important things with you. So you see, this is how some people get promotion on the job, you know, because they observe you. They observe how quiet you are. You don't have any wisdom, but they don't know. And you see, as you are quiet and you are going and you are coming, you see, anytime you meet someone, you see, you assume the person is wise automatically. You see, we are not, you see, that's why we are not bad people. You know, human beings are not created to be that bad. So usually you realize that when you meet a person, the first instinct is to trust the person. Until the person deceives you, until the person lies to you. So usually when someone approaches you and they are asking you, for instance, for MetroCard or something, swipe for me, or something like that, you genuinely believe that the person does not have it. Do you see? And then you help the person out. You see? But after the person, you see the person always, you know, he's going to work. And then every time he stands there waiting for something, then you realize that this person, you see? So the first encounter, you tend to trust people. So normally when we encounter people, we assume they are wise, you know. The first encounter is that the person is wise. And that is the you put it in that category. Until you hear the person talking. You see, when the person starts talking, then you realize that, you see, there was a man that was like that. I mean, he was a very noble looking, you know, and I saw him, I held him like a very wise person, you know. And then I heard him talking one time. You know, and he had to talk for a long time, you know. He talked plenty, you know. He was talking a lot. And I said, wow, what a shock. Hallelujah. So you see, when you open your mouth, that is when people see that you are not that wise. So if you want people to see you as a wise person, just stay quietly. And you just say only few things. You see, like, I agree, you know. I think we can consider that. You see, sure. I think it can be done. You see, and look wise. They will promote you. I tell you, they will promote you. And then you go there and struggle with a job. Hallelujah. Amen. He says, when thou vowest, verse 4, when thou vowest a vow unto God, be fair not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Hallelujah. And then he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? Hallelujah. For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. You know, let me read it from the New Living Translation to you. He says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. Do you see? I didn't write the Bible. I did not write it. Are you reading the same Bible? Okay. It says, as you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Mindless offerings to God. So you see, when you are giving an offering, let your mind be on the offering. And I believe a lot of times when your mind is on an offering, you will give a substantial offering, or you give something that is pleasing. You see, don't give haphazardly. Don't give because the offering basket is coming around. That is mindless offering. He says, don't make rash promises. And don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. Some of you, everything quickly, you are coming to God with it. He said, don't be hasty in bringing matters before God. You see, God has given us wisdom also. And there are certain things that he expects us to use our wisdom also. Hallelujah. And that wisdom is from him. So pray that he gives you the wisdom to do it. But don't bring it quickly that this is too difficult. Lord, solve it. Take care of this. But he has given you also wisdom. Hallelujah. And then he says, after all, God is in heaven and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. Too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. Do you see? The Bible is saying it. You see, this strategy that I'm giving you, the Bible is confirming it. It says, too many words make you a fool. Let your words be few and you'll be a wise person. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through. For God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. Some of you, sometimes you make promises. Some of you had made promises that you join Healing Jesus Crusade and then you do this. Your condition has given gotten better. It has improved, but you are not fulfilling that promise. It's a promise that you made to Jesus. And how many of you are remembering the promises you made? Please, fulfill them. The Bible says God does not take pleasure in people who make promises and do not fulfill them. He describes them as fools. He says, it is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Don't let your mouth make you sin. Don't defend yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That now they are coming. Oh, when we had that camp, what was the camp that we had? Not the root camp, the one we had with Bishop a few years ago. Not missionary, Mission America. Volante camp, but there was something that we were offering to. Labalaba Project. Was it Labalaba Project? You see, and then up to now, you have not fulfilled your promise. You see? And then you are saying that, oh, you said I'll pay 1,000, but that was a mistake. You know, that is wrong. I can only afford, I realize that I can afford $100. Oh, I saw a lot of people were going, so you know, I also joined. All the people I was sitting with, they all went. I was the only one that was sitting there. It was a mistake. It was a, oh, don't take me seriously. Hey, don't do that. He says, don't let your mouth make you sin. Don't defend yourself. You are defending yourself by telling the temple messenger that the promise you made was a mistake. That will make God very angry and he might wipe out everything you have achieved. Yeah. Talk is cheap, like daydreams and other useless activities. Fear God instead. Hallelujah. Fear God instead. Amen. I was reading this in the Message version. You know, and it was very interesting. You want me to read it to you? He said, watch your steps when you enter God's house. Enter to learn. I said, I'll teach you about God's house one day. Enter to learn. That is far better than mindless offering a sacrifice, doing more harm than good. Don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. You see, don't speak before you think. People who speak their mind, they speak before they think. Because as it drops in your mind, you just shoot it. He says, don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God's in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes for restless sleep. Overtalk shows up as a fool. When you tell God you'll do something, do it now. God takes no pleasure in foolish gabble. Vow it, then do it. Far better not to vow in the first place than to vow and not pay up. Don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called to account, you won't get by with, sorry, I didn't mean that. Hallelujah. He said, you won't get by saying, oh, sorry, I didn't mean it. How many of you want to give $1,000? You lift up your hand, they write your name. And then now you say, oh, sorry. Oh, it was a mistake. I didn't mean it. Now, you see, these things are showing you that in the Lord's house, we don't joke. There's no joke like that. Hallelujah. He's a God of order. Amen. Hallelujah. So foolish talking, it causes you to sin. Amen. You see, every now and then, you know, things may slip out of our mouths. Every now and then, you see, it may just slip out, you know. But there are some people that They just that every time they just speak in their minds. You see, it's not just now and then. Every time, as for me, I speak my mind. As for me, I speak my mind. Hallelujah. Once it drops in my mind, it has to come out. Some people say, I can't keep things in my mind. You are a fool when you say that. I can't keep things in my mind. Once it's in my mind, it has to come out. Hallelujah. There are certain things that you need to keep in your mind. I said, there are certain things you need to keep in your mind. Hallelujah. There are certain things, when you bring it out, people will use it to destroy you. People will use it to attack you. As soon as it comes out of your mouth, they will use the same thing that you said to destroy you or to attack you. Hallelujah. I want to read one such person to you who spoke his mind or what was in his mind, and the people around him used it to attack him. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. And I want to read from verse 3. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Look, he says, are you there? You know, for this, let's read from the New Living Translation. He says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. Hallelujah. Now that is also an example to parents. I mean, a lot of times, because of a child's behavior, the way the child relates to you, sometimes some children are very affectionate. You know, they want to be with you. They miss you. They will let you know they miss your absence. And then you tend to be more attracted to such children. But don't let the siblings feel that you love this child more than the others. Do you see? Because you turn them against him or her. Hallelujah. You tell them, sometimes some things should be hidden in your heart also. Even if you love that child more than the others. Amen. So, he says, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Hallelujah. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Do you see? They hated him more than ever. He said, listen to this dream. He said, we were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundles stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. Look, your grown-up brothers, you have had a dream like this. And then you come to tell them, look, we were in the field. And then we were all working in the field. And then suddenly, we were working with these bundles, and suddenly my bundles stood up. And all your bundles, they were gathered around me, my bundle, and they bowed down. They bowed down before mine. His brothers responded, so you think you will be our king? Do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Do you see? And the way he talked about them. Sometimes it's the way even you talk about a thing that makes people even hate you the more or use it to destroy you. So maybe Joseph was like, look, we were in the field. We were in the field. And my bundle suddenly stood up. And you. All of you, your bundles were around me. And I was just looking at your bundles, and then suddenly I saw your bundle, especially your bundle, it went so low on me. You see? And then he's saying that to Simeon, and you're telling to Reuben, your big brothers. He says, your bundle, I saw your bundle went, I was even trying to kick your bundle up. So, he says, and the way he said it, the way he talked about his dream, there's a way of talking. the way he talked about it.
Soon Joseph had another dream and began, and again he told his brothers about it.
Hallelujah.
He told his brothers about, you see, Joseph, I mean, he could have prevented the harm and the damage that could have been done to him. Do you understand? By not sharing the dream or by saying it in a way.
Hallelujah.
But he shared a dream, more dreams. And then he says he dreamt again and he shared it. Again, he told his brothers, listen, I have another dream. He said, the sun, moon, and 11 stars. 11 stars. Think about it, 11 stars. What do you think? What does it mean? You see, then he's telling them like that. I was wondering why 11 stars. And you too, you are 11. You see? Is somebody understand what I'm sharing with you? He says 11 stars, and you two, you are 11. And they were all around me, and then the moon and the sun.
Which verse is that?
Verse 9. He says the sun, moon, and 11 stars, they bowed low before me. Look at how he says it. Not just they bow before me, but they bow low before me. You see, so you see, it's the way he told his dreams. It's the way he told his dreams. You know, sometimes there are certain things that the Lord shows you or the Lord reveals to you. And it's not everything that you have to say, or it's not yet time for you to talk about it.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes God has a call on your life and he wants to reveal certain things to you, but it's not yet time for you to talk about it.
Hallelujah.
But sometimes we open our mouth so quickly. We open our mouth so quickly to talk about it, and the same people that are hearing this, they use it to attack you.
Hallelujah.
They use it to attack you. But there are some people that you can share your story with.
Hallelujah.
You can share your story with certain people who want to see you doing well or want to see you going up. Sometimes you have certain plans. It's not everyone that you can share the plan with. But if we continue to read on, you see that someone else had the same dream, but it was a different thing. He said, this time, he told the dream, verse 10, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. What kind of dream is that? He asked, will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you? 11 stars, the sun. So you are saying that I am the sun, your mother is the moon, and your 11 brothers are the 11 stars. We will come, and the dream that you are, is our family that you are describing. So do you really mean that we will come and bow to the ground before you? But you see, look, and the verse 11 says, but while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dream meant. In the King James Version, what does that verse say? It says, but while, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. The father observed the sayings. He didn't throw it out, but he observed the sayings. Watching his son. You see, when the father starts observing the sayings, he will do things to help you to live that dream. It means that he's observing the saying. He's watching to make sure that now you should go to a certain school. Now maybe you should associate with certain people. Now you should learn how to do this. Learn how to eat like a king. Learn how to do this. That is a father. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? But his brothers, they envied him. I said, sometimes you need to be careful who you share your dreams with. It's not that you wake up. Some people, they dream, and they, as soon as they wake up, they don't even pray over the dream. They don't do anything. They pick up a phone. Hey, today the dream that I had. And they start sharing the dream. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? God has visited you. God has given you a dream. And you have not pondered over the dream. You have not prayed over the dream. And you just start telling people. It's not a good thing.
Hallelujah. I want to look at another incident also. In Luke chapter 2. Another incident in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. and verse 47. Luke 2 and 47. It says, Luke chapter 2 and verse 47. Okay, let's read from verse 41. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. How many of you can imagine that if you were the parents and you came to find Jesus, you'll be very, very upset. 12-year-old boy, you see, they went with him, and then when they came back, they realized he wasn't with them. Oh, so maybe he may have gone to John's house, you know, to Elizabeth's house, or checking on the relatives. They check on all the relatives, he's not with them. And then they came back. They came back, actually, to look for him in Jerusalem. 3 days later, they searched and searched, and then 3 days later, they finally found him. They finally found him sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them, small boy, listening to them, and then asking questions. So maybe they were looking in the window, and then they saw the religious teachers, they were afraid, but then they see their little boy sitting there with them, asking questions and giving answers and, you know, questioning them. And the Bible says, all who heard were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Verse 48. His parents didn't know what to think. They didn't even know what to think. Do you see? It's like you don't even know what to say. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. And listen. But why did you need to search? This is the answer that Jesus gives them. But why did you need to search? He asks. Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business or I must be in my father's house? Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? Look, there's a certain country which begins with a G. If your mother were to say something, and then you give an answer like that. And you give an answer like that. Your head, the balls that will come out of your head. Maybe here in this country you can get away with it. But there's a certain country. Your mother has been searching, your father and your mother has been searching for you for 3 days, and finally they find you, and you say, why were you searching for me? I am of age, 12 years old. And then he says, I must be about my father's business, and your father is standing there. Can you imagine the commotion that Jesus could have brought? The commotion, Joseph could have, listen, I've been saying it. Look at this. Look at how he's talking. Embarrassing me. Look, I am standing here. You say, who is your father? Who, your son. Did you hear what you were saying? Did you hear what your son was saying? My father. Who is his father? You see, this Holy Ghost thing that you've been doing. You see, look at the trouble that you have brought. Look at the trouble that you have brought. My father. Who is your father? I am standing here and you're my father. See, because Joseph has covered everything, you know, he's raised a boy and everything is normalized. You know, they have even accepted him in the temple. Hallelujah.
So you see, Joseph could have been very angry and he could have destroyed the relationship and he could have ended it all. But someone, you see, the Bible says, but they didn't understand what he meant. They didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. His mother stored all these things in her heart. Hallelujah. You see, when things drop in your head, you don't be, I speak my mind. When the things are in your mind, I speak my mind. Let them drop in your heart and let you ponder over them. The Bible says his mother, he stored all these things in her heart. Jacob, when he observed, he saw all these things and all these dreams, the Bible says he observed the same. He observed the same. Hallelujah. So sometimes it's not everyone that you need to share your story with. It's not everyone that you need to tell what the Lord wants to do for you. Hallelujah. But there are some people, when you share it with them, they store them in their heart and they ponder over them and they want you to do well. Hallelujah. There are certain people, when you share your story with them, if you go and tell them, oh, I have a call. I think the Lord has called me into the ministry. There are certain friends, you go to some of your friends. You see, there are certain friends that you have to avoid. These friends that you have at the African market, that they are always hanging around, that you are with them, you have to avoid. You go to them and say, oh, I have a call of God upon my life. Go and share something like this with your friends. They will discourage you. They will say certain things. You will not even think there's a call of God on your life anymore. Do you understand? So it's not everyone that you have to share your call with. Eve did that. She shared her call. Eve was called. Eve had a calling on her life. And the Bible says that he was made to be a help meet for the husband. To be a help meet for the husband. And then someone met and he said, oh, you see, because God has planted a garden and he has put a man in. And God has given instructions. And you know, men generally are not, they are not that strong, or they are not self-willed. Do you understand? As women are. Oh, don't look at me like I'm lying. You see, men are weak. You understand? You see, it is easier for a woman to get a man to sleep with him, to sleep with her, than for a man to get a woman to sleep with him. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? A man will easily fall like that. You know, with his head and with his heart and everything. Fall like, without thinking. And when she's done, she says, I'm sorry. But women are strong-willed. Do you understand? They have such a stronger character. Do you understand? And so that is the call that was upon Eve. She was called that this man, if you are not around him, he can easily eat this fruit. You know. So the day that himself come and he says, this fruit, it looks very nice, and then the woman will come. No, God has said we shouldn't touch this and never touch. You see, the woman with that determination, he said that he was made as a help meet for the husband. That means the man needed help. But she shared her dream with someone. She shared the call upon her life. She shared it with someone. Someone came and he said, oh yes, it's all about this tree. We are not supposed to touch this tree. And you see, a lot of times, our foolish talk, the things that we say, is what the enemy will use to destroy us. The enemy is not everywhere. The enemy does not have that power. The enemy does not know everything. Do you understand? It is God who knows everything. But sometimes we give the enemy the information. We give the enemy the information. So the enemy comes and says, of all the trees that are in the garden, God said we should eat them. But the tree that is in the midst thereof, God said we shouldn't eat. And I say, oh, really? You see, the enemy, he was there when God was talking to them. But he said, now, oh, really? So this is your calling, that you should protect the family from eating this fruit. And then he used that as a weapon. And then he attacked it. And she fell for good. For which reason, the women are not strong-willed anymore. They are
Our time is up, so let's end here. And then next time when we will continue. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us bring the service to a close. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you. Foolish talking. Let it not be named once amongst us. Foolish talking. Father, the things that drop in our head and we just say them, the things that we hear and we just say, let them not be named once amongst us. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, oh God, help us. Help us, Lord, help us. Help us. Deliver us, Lord, from foolish talking. Deliver us from foolish talking. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us from foolish talking. Deliver us. Deliver us. Father, when we speak, may we think before we speak. Your word says we should not speak before we think. But may we think before we speak. May we think before we speak. May every word that proceed out of our mouth be guarded and be guided by your spirit, in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh Jesus. Help us, Spirit of God. Help us, Spirit of God. May we be conscious when we step in your house, oh God, the promises that we make. May we be conscious. May we be aware of foolish talking. When we are with our friends, when we are with our husbands, when we are with our wives, deliver us from foolish talking. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us from foolish talking.
Oh. This is my daily bread. Your very word. Your very word. Spoken. Spoken. To me. And I'm lost without you.
Lord, you know, I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you, Lord. I'm lost without you.
Father, indeed, we are lost without you. Indeed, we are lost without you. We are blind without your spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from such sins. May we not make excuses for such sins. For you say, such people who make such excuses, the Lord's anger will be upon them. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for delivering us from foolish talking in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to tame the tongue. Help us, Jesus, to tame our tongues. May we have control over our tongues. For you say, the one who has control over the tongue is able to even bridle the whole body. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. If there's anyone here this evening, you are not born again, you have not given your life to Jesus, Jesus Christ is not your Savior, you want to come before Jesus and receive Him as your Savior, if that is your prayer, lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anyone here like that, you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? You want Jesus Christ to come into your life as a Savior? Anyone here like that? Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Jesus. We ask, O God, that you cause us to continue to walk with you. Deliver us, Lord, from foolish talking. Deliver us, Lord, from these sins that so easily beset us. We ask, O God, that you open our eyes. Cause us to be wise. Cause us, O Lord, to open our mouths less and hear more. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you for another opportunity to hear your word. May your word, O Lord, abide in our lives. May it be in our hearts. May we ponder over these words. May we harbor them and keep them in our hearts. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
We hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.